Alrighty, we are set and ready to roll. Welcome to the MediaBids Power Hour. We are delighted that all of you are here. We have had a record number of leaders, participants, and subscribers sign up for our program today. We are delighted that all of you are here. This is going to be a very fast-paced program. We always want to give you the tools and the research and the knowledge that will help you win. And today will be about research and learning. Word of advice, please print the agenda today. We're going to be talking about advertising works. Prove it. Please print the agenda and intend to make lots of notes. It is not an accident. We are not flashing slides on the screen. That causes multitasking, which means you're not going to transfer. We will not be able to transfer the knowledge to you. You are not going to get the very best in adult learning and education and knowledge. So please plan on making lots of notes through the course of our program. We will field your questions. You can simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll be more than happy to weave and work your questions in. We have about 26 pages of questions that Jed has woven those in, and we'll cover those during the course of the program as he covers key areas. But if there are additional follow-through questions, we're more than happy to answer them during the program or afterward as well. With me is Jed, the founder and the CEO of MediaBids. We've been rolling these calls. This is our 57th program, 57 hours later. It goes all the way back to 2006. He and his team are wonderful to work with. They know our publication, our media, our advertising world, hands down. So, Jed, how about some opening words and a hello to the group, an introduction about yourself and MediaBids. I'll say formally hello, and then we will get rocking into our program, okay?
Great. Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to thank Ernest. He runs the majority of these teleseminars and really brings an enormous amount of knowledge to the table. He's a great resource for you as a publication professional. I am as Ernest mentioned, I'm the president of MediaBids. I started MediaBids in 1999, primarily as a marketplace to make newspaper and magazine advertising easier. And we still have that goal. We believe that, one of the fundamental problems that's facing print today is how space is sold. Not just with, today we're going to be talking about a lot of the information we have from our per inquiry program, but what MediaBids does is more than that. We also have tools for selling ads conventionally, and we're trying to constantly make the process easier for advertisers, because advertisers really want the process to be easier. The current, the way that print is bought and sold is, for an increasing number of advertisers, a burdensome process, especially when you compare it to other mediums. So we've got several different ways to sell space, and we're constantly tweaking them, constantly trying to make them more successful and more relevant. If you'd like to learn more about it, we're going to have a contact information in the follow-up email we send, or just go to our website, mediabids.com. Our phone number's on there. Please feel free to give us a call. We're happy to explain to you how we do it.
Beautiful, wonderful, and we encourage you to reach out to Jed and their team at MediaBids. For those of you that are working with MediaBids, you know the wonderful service, the revenue opportunities, and the partnership that they bring. And if you don't know enough about MediaBids, positively, absolutely reach out, learn more about them, and find out how it can enhance your revenue and enhance your advertiser profile. My name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I started in publications and advertising sales in the 80s. I go back a couple of decades. I have a deep, deep passion for media, newspapers, publications, advertising sales success, and obviously in more recent years, including e-newsletters and websites as well. I understand all of that gamut. And have an incredible, wonderful array of clients in about 8 time zones around the world. We help our advertising teams and our media leaders succeed and win. In addition to being a coach, trainer, speaker, we write an article every single month. This is our 191st month that we've written an article. article. We run a very large LinkedIn group in the publishing publication advertising media space. As a little side note, though, in one of our deep verticals, we have more than 30,000 readers. We are one of the top 400 of 1.2 million LinkedIn groups. I share that with all of you. You need to understand what's happening in LinkedIn. We've trained more than 4,000 media professionals. You need to not only understand what's happening in LinkedIn, but you positively absolutely need to form and own your own groups. It's not an accident that we're one of the top 400 groups. Jed, we are adding about 4,000 new members and leaders in our sectors every 30 days. It is sort of like inventing the hula hoop. We've gone completely viral in our sectors, and we, of course, are helping our publications and media teams and advertising sales leaders succeed as well on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the number one business networking tool. We also have a recruiting division. We know what it means to hire, find, and train great sales superstars. We have an investment banking group, Jed, as you know. We help our clients buy and sell media properties. We have a search engine team of 18. We understand how to work with the search engines. And in our, let's see, spare time, we really like to go to Amarada and fish. How about them apples?
Good.
All right, man. Listen, let me turn it over to you today. Our program is called Advertising Works, Prove It. Let's kick off this first piece based on the research that you've done and maybe just set a little foundation. We encourage all of you to make copious notes as we roll here. Set a little foundation as we get into this first point, what works in print, but share with the group sort of the foundation of where you're gaining this knowledge and a little bit about the data points of what brings this knowledge together, okay?
Right. Okay. So we, as I mentioned in the beginning, what MediaBits does a couple different things. We have a conventional ad sales side, and then we have a per-inquiry ad sales. The nice thing about per-inquiry for a topic like today is that we get an enormous amount of data on the results from each ad, right? So I'm going to talk for a minute about where we get this data and sort of what it's derived from. It's primarily derived from, it's entirely derived from newspapers and magazines from around the U.S. And this is a program where the newspapers and magazines are paid for the space. They're paid for the response that they generate, not the space in which the ad is appearing. Most of our campaigns are per-call campaigns, which means that every ad has a unique 800 number. So whether it's a classified ad or a full-page ad, every ad has its own phone number. As you may know, 800 numbers can be pointed anywhere. So what we do is we take the 800 number in the ad that appears in the newspaper or magazine, and we point it to the advertiser's call center. This allows us to receive the call without interfering in it, while at the same time giving us the data about the caller. Some of the information that we're able to get from the caller is who's calling, their name, what time they called, how long they spent on the phone, the location of where they're calling from, or at least where they're being billed at. Increasingly, that's an issue, right, because, you know, more and more people have cell phones, and they may or may not be tied to a specific geographic location. And in many cases, we record the call in an effort to get an idea of how the call center is handling the call, if there's any issues, if there's any sort of misunderstandings with the creative, that kind of thing. Other ways, and I know there were a couple people who asked questions about this, so I think it's worth mentioning, other ways that we track print ads, the results generated from print ads, are unique URLs. So this would be a situation where, for example, in a ProFlowers ad, we would have a proflowers.com/love or /save. That the ending part of the URL is unique to that specific ad. So we're able to determine if the publication that's running the ad and has that URL in it is generating any sales. In order to get whatever offer is being provided in the ad, the consumer has to type in that backslash. Another way of tracking print ads is through codes in ads. This would be a scenario where where the same URL is used in every ad, but a unique code is placed into each individual ad. So, for example, for stamps.com, we do, you know, we have codes like postage or stamps or save, right? And so each of those codes is unique to a different publication. QR codes are also another way of tracking, as well as, you know, text. All of these sort of, you know, we're using all of these, but as you'll see as we sort of get into the numbers a little bit, phone numbers are still far and away the greatest response mechanism when it comes to print advertising.
So this is Ernest. Let me just pause here. So what you're hearing from Jed, we're just teeing up the, you know, Xerox calls this, what gives you the right to speak in front of me and tell me what you know? And that's what we're doing. We're setting a little foundation. By the way, wink, wink, for those of us who are advertising sales professionals, you have to do the same thing when you're in a sales presentation. It's not, hi, how are you, let me buy an ad, or hi, how are you, let's build some rapport. You have to position yourself in a way that a buyer, those that are going to buy advertising from you, whether it's print, web, e-newsletter, or a package of all three, that you are an authority and that you are a thought leader, and that your entity, your publication, your team, your magazine, your newspaper, your web presence is an authority in your space. Is it by sector, by industry, by interest, by niche, whatever that might be? The piece that I also want you to hear when you're listening to Jed set the foundation here, though, and he's not setting, by the way, the foundation to sell you or us. He's just setting the foundation so that you can hear the credibility and where the research is coming from. In a minute, I'm going to ask him to tell us round numbers, how many ads they're tracking, round numbers last year, how many total number of inbound calls they track. So you really get a sense, because he's skipping over, that the research that he's going to share through the rest of our program is coming from an incredible, the most significant, most specialized base that I've ever heard, and the research he's going to bring to us is rock solid. But before we do that, just listen to what he said. Ads can be tracked. Ads can be listened to for coaching and training. Web pages can be uniquely identified to all of you. I go back to the 80s. When you sold an ad and you begged for the renewal, and you'd walk into the meeting, and there's some version of, I'm sorry, the ad's not working. In fact, I've never been, Jed, on a meeting that somebody came in and said, you did so well, I'm going to double what I pay you. It's never happened. You come into a meeting, you get grinded on. You spend most of your time on your heels and worried about ever continuing advertising, which is why we end up with so much price discounting, because we don't come from the side of selling with value, and we don't have selling with facts or data. Those days are long gone. For those of you that have been on our programs, you know for 10 years or more we've been talking about this is the heyday. The best time in the history of advertising sales is right now. But if you don't have the kind of data that we're going to talk about today, the clicks, the measures, the phone calls, the records, if you don't have that, you are still on your heels, and you're working like I did back in the 80s. Those days are gone. And if you need help and you need support and you need the specifics, please let us know. We know exactly what those pieces are in order to put that in place for your publication and for your team. Having said all that, Jed, give us a little capsule of how many ads are out there floating, how many calls, so the group really understands the depth of what you're pulling from as we go into the rest of our program.
Yep, that's the next paragraph here.
Rock on, man.
So for what we did to get ready for this teleseminar, What we did is we stripped away some of what we think of as sort of the atypical type publications to generate, you know, to talk about results. Because the atypical publications might be, for example, you know, direct mail, or they might be, publications which are, you know, annual and distributed only through a very, very narrow venue. So we looked at 1,974 publications, which ran a total of 27,590 unique ads. Now, what I mean by unique ads is I mean that those are different advertisers. So, for example, you know, Dish may have run in, you know, 5,000 of them, but on average, each of those publications ran 14 separate ads. And what that means is that each advertiser, they ran 14 different advertisers. The average number of insertions per advertiser was 16, which means that we derived the data from 441,440 individual print ad insertions. The total single copy circulation among all those publications is 316,177,226. We measure circulation, not readership, because publications derive readership numbers in many, many, many different ways. We sort of can't decipher that. So this is circulation, and we define circulation as number of copies printed. Little bit of a disclaimer here, not every publication we work with is audited. So, you know, these are round numbers. So we our best estimate is about 65% of the publications that are in this pool are audited. And that means they've been audited, you know, recently. The total circulation for all insertions, right? So if you take the 316 million number, right, that's the sort of the single copy, and then you multiply that out by the total number of times the ad was run, the total circulation is what seems like an incredible number. It's 5,058,835,000. So there've been a lot of ads out there that we have information on. 40% of all of the circulation I just mentioned is from classified ads. 60% of the circulation is from display ads. If you go a little deeper in the display ads, 67.4% of the display ads were printed in black and white. 32.6% of the display ads were printed in color. So that kind of fit, and we define color, by the way, as for color. It's difficult, so not necessarily spot color. We don't, for the purposes of data, we don't really have a separate spot color category. That's where we got the information from. Now to get into the data a little bit, in an effort to kind of normalize the results and to try to be able to compare it better, sort of, you know, one piece of information to another, we break down response into the number of thousands of circulation required to generate a response. So, in other words, how many copies of a publication need to be out there before someone will respond? And the results from the top level are classifieds generate an average response of one response for every 3,269 circulation. So that's across all advertisers. And we'll get into advertisers in a little bit more, but there are 99 different advertisers.
Let me just pause. One response, Jed, per how many again?
3,269.
So roughly 3,200. I want to just circle back. We're looking at, in the research, 29,000 unique ads, circa 316 mil, right? On average, 16 insertions. And just going back to the first stat, did you say the research was done across 1,900 publications and media sources?
Yeah, let me just go back to my notes.
Let me just double check. I just want to confirm, just so we're clear on that. Okay.
Yeah, and there's 1,974 publications.
Okay, very good. Perfect. All right.
And they're mm-hmm. all either weekly or daily newspapers mm-hmm. or national or regional magazines.
Publications. Okay, very good. So we're talking on the print side. That gives us just a scope of the research that was done. And again, for all of you that are listening to our program here today, this is research that's being done behind the scenes by MediaBids. You will never find this, see this, read it, so to speak, unless you were here as we're rolling through it here today. And now what's going to come is really what does all this research mean? But in the last couple of minutes, you at least can pause and realize that what Jed is going to be talking about and the points about what works, who responds, and how do you generate more responses are directly relevant to your advertising success. Jed, let's continue.
All right, so classified ads generate an average response of one response for every 3,269 circulations. overall display generates one response for every 2018 circulation. Now, if you break out display, black and white display generates one response for every 2,700 circulation, and color display generates one response for every 1,096 circulation. So color ads generate 2.5 times the response as black and white ads. You know, just to reiterate, another way of looking at it is it takes 2,702 copies of a newspaper or magazine for a reader to decide whether or not to take action on a black and white ad as compared to 1,096 copies of a newspaper or a magazine for a reader to decide to take action on a color ad. The classified ads, somewhat not surprisingly, generate less response than display either color or black and white. It takes 3,269 copies of a newspaper or a magazine for a reader to decide to take action on a classified ad.
Jed, let me just pause just to clarify, because I know some of those, like me, on our program here today are wondering about that piece. So when you compare the number of copies for a display ad versus a classified ad, any theory as to why that is the difference in the two numbers?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I think a classified ad is just a lot smaller, and
mm-hmm.
and I think that a big part of it also, mm-hmm. and something you should keep in mind when you're considering these numbers is the types of advertisers that we are running in classified ads are not what you would really consider to be conventional classified ad sort of topics, right? Where, you know, we have advertisers like, you know, like Dish Network
mm-hmm.
that are running in a classified ad as well as a display. You know, if we had data on, for example, tag sales or you know, apartments for rent, or you know, a more generic classified topic, I think that you would see that.
Mm-hmm.
That the classified ads probably would perform better in some categories than the same ad in a display. I think in some cases our classified ads are you know sort of a fish out of water. But one of the things which is interesting is that even though classified sort of performed you know so much worse on a per circulation level. You know, when you consider the investment of a publication in the ad, classifieds actually, you know, may have outperformed at least black and white display ads because we'll get to that in 1 second. But the let me just get to my notes here. So classifieds generate about $60 worth of response per insertion. Again, these are pretty general numbers, right? Because what we're looking at is the results across many different advertisers. But on average, classifieds generate $60 worth of response per publication insertion, whereas display ads on average generate $271 worth of response. Color display ads are generating about $302, and black and white $102. So the $271 is just an average based on the total data.
Right.
The average display ad size, which is 6 column inches. Approximately, you know, again, it's a little bit difficult to sort of normalize these numbers because all publications are different. So a column inch in one is not a column inch in the other. But if you take sort of an average of everything and you assume what amounts to 6 column inches, and you compare that with a classified of 25 words or less, right, you assume that on a column inch basis, a classified is roughly 1 column inch, then in many respects, classifieds outperform the display ads because they, you know, they're bringing in so much more for the amount of investment that a publication is making in them. So the column inch revenue for a color display ad would be about $45. A column inch revenue for a black and white display is $17.50. And the column inch revenue for a classified ad is about $60.
So let me just pause. When you say, you know, 17 versus 45, black and white versus color, does that support? I mean, what you're saying in summary then is that, you know, the color display ad, in fact, it does pull better, even though we've always known it. We charge more. Intuitively, we've known that. Is that what your research is telling us?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question about it. I mean, it's you know, across all advertisers, color display outperforms black and white. You know, at least 2 to 1.
I mean, because every rate card I've ever sold, or any rate card, I mean, I've probably seen, you know, 2,000 or more rate cards and media kits, you know, over the last 17 years. I mean, you know, you see, here's the little corner for the classified, then you've got, you know, the black and white, then you've got the color. And obviously you know how it stair steps up. And, of course, as an advertising sales professional, your goal is to do the best for the advertiser and then, of course, put the right fit in the right campaign. And if it so happens that, you know, we're doing, you know, double truck color, you know, ads or prime exposure on a website or combining that with exposure in any newsletter, if you're wrapping all those pieces together, of course, we also want the greatest what? Market share, right, from every advertiser. We don't want them being out in 10 of our competitors. I'd rather them being, you know, in my publication 3 times bigger and maybe 2 competitors. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so it's you know, it's pretty dramatic, the difference between color and black and white. Now, you know, what we try to look at here is the return on investment for a publication. So if a publication, keep in mind, you know, these are ads that publications are running, and I'm sure that there are some of you on this call who run ads in your publication, and then you get paid on response. So in terms of the just sort of sheer numbers, because there's so little investment in putting a classified ad in, classifieds tend to outperform because they because there's so little cost up against them, as opposed to color and black and white, where the cost structures tend to be much, much higher. It's a little bit interesting when you look at, or it's not a little bit, it's interesting when you look at the reverse of that, which is the return on investment that advertisers see. You know, one of the good news about classified ads is that they tend to pull pretty well. The bad news is that even within the same publication, right, and this is pretty amazing, even within the same publication, the people who respond to classified ads, again, this is over lots and lots of publications and lots of advertisers, but the people who respond to classified ads tend to have much lower credit scores, and they also tend not to purchase as often.
Whoa.
So the close rate among classifieds is dramatically lower than it's about half of what display ads are. So from an advertiser's perspective, right, you're paying a little more for the display ad, but if you factor that in, you factor in the fact that, you know, you're going to have to deal with, you know, twice as many tire kickers as opposed to buyers, it makes a big difference. And I think, you know, I think pushes display ads, depending on the product, into a better value category than classifieds. So that's something we see across many different advertisers. Maybe it'd be a good time to throw in a question. We just talked about close rate with classifieds. So on average, what we see is the close rate for display per inquiry ads across all advertisers is 18%. The close rate among classifieds is about 9.5. The the what we define as close rate is the number of people who end up buying. Not necessarily the number of people that we're paying publications for, because in many cases, publications are being paid for phone calls. That's different than the number of people who ultimately become customers and end up buying. But they're related in the aspect that the amount that an advertiser is willing to pay for a response, whether it be a phone call or anything else, is directly related to the number of customers that they end up getting out of those phone calls. So when we talk about close rate, it's really a very, very important thing for print people to talk about, because the results are so much different in print than they are in other mediums. Kevin from Maine asked, how do you combat a potential advertiser who thinks social media or banner ads are better than print? I mean, here's the close rates that we hear from our advertisers. Print, as I mentioned, overall closes at 18% for display ads. Television is about 11%. Radio, just under it, at 10%. Search engine advertising, which is far and away the most successful thing that someone can do on the internet, is about 7%. Banner ads, social media, are less than 1%. So the amount of customers that are actually derived from a medium, you know, which comes from the close rate, you know, is much, much better with print than it is with any other medium for most advertisers. Now, the one thing that print cannot compete with when these other mediums, and this is true for all of these other mediums, is overall volume. So depending, you know, most of our advertisers that we're dealing with are interested in someone specifically buying something, right? They've got something for sale. It's sort of in the classification of what we would call direct response, right? If someone's goal is to, you know, just get people to say that they're interested in their furniture line, or they're just, you know, they want to, you know, it's less of a hard sell, then it may be that some of these other mediums, you know, actually are a better source for them. But when it comes to actually, you know, having people who are interested in buying, you know, none of these other mediums compete with print. And you know, we're the advertisers that we're dealing with are not small advertisers or niche advertisers. These are big national companies that are they're measuring many, many different mediums. I think that's always an important factor. And obviously, you know, when it comes to sort of determining the value of advertising, a lot of these other mediums, which drive enormous volume, just can't stand up on a ROI perspective to many print vehicles because they just don't have the close rate.
And any sense of what drives that? I mean, just from your vantage point, Sajed?
Yeah, I mean, that sort of gets into the second question, right? Like, why is it that print people who respond to print are different than people who respond to many other mediums? And I think that the short answer to that really is that they're just more informed. They just have. When they finally respond, they're ready to purchase. They know more about the product than they do with many other mediums. A lot of these other mediums are very reactionary. So someone hears a radio commercial, for example, and they hear it for, in many cases, 30 seconds. They dial the number and then they ask questions. Then they find out what the heck they're talking about.
Right.
The same is true with television. You know, it's, you know, perhaps a 60-second, 30-second commercial, and you get a lot of information, but you're not retaining it. You're not thinking about it. You know, the internet is perhaps the worst, right? Where a lot of the respondents are just people who are clicking on something that looks interesting for reasons that may have absolutely nothing to do with the product, whether it be the picture in the ad or something they thought they were selling, but perhaps really maybe aren't. And so a lot of these other mediums, I think, tend to be very reactionary, whereas print tends to be a much more considered response, which is good and bad. It's great when it comes to close rate, and it's great when it comes to advertisers who are willing to sort of value the sale and value the close rate. It can be really frustrating, though, when you compare overall volume of print in terms of the response generated to other mediums, because these other mediums tend to outperform print by multiples in terms of the number of people who are responding.
Thanks for that. That's very helpful in terms of sort of thinking about what those trends are. And Kevin, we know that you sent in this question to us, so we hope that has been helpful. If not, ping us an email and we'll continue from there. So, Jet, I know we've been working around this point about what works in print, and we're sort of broaching over into who responds to print. So where to next into the second point about the response side?
Okay. All right. Let me you want to go into that? How about if I just run through a couple more stats?
That would be great. I want to be certain if there's anything else to cover on one, and then let our audience know that we're transitioning to point number two, who responds. Okay? So, yeah,
right.
Please.
And by the way, everyone, I will type up a sort of a summary of some of these stats, because I know it can be a little bit confusing. I'm managing to confuse myself as we
Hey, listen, you're rolling through a lot here, and it's really great, okay?
All right, so this is something that I always find kind of interesting. In terms of how frequency impacts response, in daily and weekly newspapers, over the first three insertions, the ad generates increasingly greater response, usually on average generating about 21% increase with each insertion. However, after the third insertion, the response levels out. And from that point forward, response to an ad generally does never fluctuates by more than 7% plus or minus.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, really amazing, because we have some publications that have been running the same advertiser for 5 years, and you can see over the lifespan of that customer, of that advertiser's run, that there are good weeks and there are bad weeks, but they're never off by more than about 7%. Barring any sort of like dramatic thing, like a change in the creative or a change in or something special that the publication's doing with their issue, so it's pretty predictable, which may seem like a negative, but it's actually a huge positive for most advertisers. One of the real problems a lot of advertisers have with the volume that's generated from some of these other mediums we spoke about is that it spikes. So if someone runs a radio ad, for example, they're going to get the majority of those phone calls within a couple-hour period after the radio ad runs, or the same is true for television. With print, the responses tend to be very, very steady and very, very spread out, as you would expect, since who knows when people are actually reading a publication. Although we do know that more people, by a wide margin, more people respond on Wednesdays than any other day.
Really? Now, that's
inside.
Interesting, because that does sync up with what we know about e-newsletters as well, that Wednesday is the prime day. I wonder what that's about, that maybe people are through catching up from the weekend, they're back into their regular week, they're hitting their stride Wednesday, Thursday, and then they're tailing off on Friday. That's interesting.
Yeah, so, in order, Wednesday is the day likely to get most response. Monday is second, Tuesday is third, Thursday is fourth, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are all pretty much equal, but dramatically lower than Monday.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, someone asked about page placement, you know, so we tried to come up with some data on that. It's a little bit difficult to sort of say, you know, a publication, an ad in the first, you know, X number of pages gets more response than an ad in the second number of pages or so on, because so many publications have different sections and different sort of different focuses within those sections that, you know, an ad that is really relevant that's being placed, for example, for women, you know, an ad for a women's health product that's being placed next to an article that has a focus on women's health, you know, will generate results that are atypical to its placement. So it's difficult to really look at that. But however, one of the things we were able to figure out is that right-hand page placements typically generate about 9% more response than left-hand page placements. So that's, you know, sort of in line with what you would probably have conventionally thought. We do most of our ads with a vertical orientation, so they stick up higher than a horizontal orientation, and so, you know, as a result of that, our numbers are a little skewed, because a long time ago we felt that vertical ads generated a lot more response than horizontal ads. So not surprisingly, our numbers show that ads generate more response than horizontal ads.
By what percent? By what factor?
About 27% more.
Wow.
Now, you know, again, some of this is a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's that's what we show.
I understand, but that's also another one of those pieces. When you're starting to rattle off about days of the week and configuration of the ad, remember we also started with color versus black and white, you know, earlier. I mean, I'll tell you what, I don't ever read any stats that relate to anything like this in the media world. It's just fantastic.
Just as a quick aside, I mean, one of the, and I know we're running out of time here, but one of the reasons why you don't read about these kinds of stats in print, I mean, because I think you read a lot about them with other media, is that so few people take the time to track this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's going to be one of our suggestions, and one of my suggestions at the end is really, you know, making more of a concerted of an effort to track this stuff. So we probably should get into the second question since we have 15 minutes left, right?
Yeah, please. That'd be great. Let's go.
All right. So let's see. So the second question was, you know, who responds to print? And we've sort of given away some of the data here already, but the short answer is considerate consumers, right? Print customers tend to shop around. Other mediums like radio, television, the internet tend to be much more reactionary, and so a lot of people are looking for more information. Print customers are more likely to know what they want before they respond, and that seems to be becoming sort of ever more prevalent from what we see. You know, one example, which is really pretty stark, for Valentine's Day, ProFlowers is one of our customers, and Valentine's Day is one of their biggest holidays. They advertise, you know, everywhere, and we handle their print advertising. As part of that, we do a per inquiry program for them. And this year, we tested two separate ads. The first ad featured a 20% off bouquet of flowers. So you could buy anything with 20% off. You know, four dozen roses, doesn't matter. But you would save 20% off on whatever you bought. The second ad featured 60% off, but it was a specific bouquet of flowers. It was, I think it was lilies and some roses and some other smaller flowers, and then and it also had a small box of chocolates and a vase. The total circulation for the 20% off ad was 61.8 million, or 82% of our total circulation for Pro Flowers per inquiry. The total circulation for the 60% offer was 14 million, or only 18% of the total Valentine's Day circulation. The 60% offer generated three times the response as the 20% offer, despite having only 18% of the circulation. So it took publications just under 1,000 circulations to generate a response for the 60% off offer, while it took publications more than 3,500 circulations to generate a response for the 20% offer. You know, it's still pretty soon after the holiday. This is just Valentine's Day a few weeks ago, so we're still trying to sort some of it out. But it seems pretty clear that consumers just were not nearly as motivated to respond to the 20% off offer as they were to the 60% offer. Even though the value of what they were receiving was pretty equivalent, you know, whether that's because of the competition that ProFlowers faces that was also running 20% offers and the 60% offer just stuck out, or whether it was something else. My theory is the 60% offer is just a 60% off number is just a big number that really made consumers sort of stop in their tracks and say, I need to act now. You know, another example, and I've used this one before, but it's really pretty dramatic, is that Dish Network raised their monthly price early last year from $19.99 to $24.99.
So basically, you know, $5. You wouldn't think that would be like a big deal, right?
Right. Now, that's a monthly charge, so $60 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is whenever that happens, we reissue ads to all the publications running it. So in this case, it was about 700 publications that were running Dish Network. Within 2 weeks of the ad changing, the results had dropped by 50%.
Wow.
So consumers were just not even remotely as interested in a product that was just $5 more a month.
Wow.
Which blows me away. Now, overall, Dish was down as a result of that change 15%.
Wow.
Okay, but we were down 50%, which says to me, right, that the people responding to Dish ads on other mediums were not nearly as sort of educated as the people who were responding to our ads. 6 months later, you know, late last year, Dish got a new CEO and a new marketing plan, and they switched back to $19.99. So they went down in price. And sure enough, it took a little longer than the decrease, but the increase took about 3 months. But the response levels exceeded what they were at the prior $19.99.
And I think the piece that we can extract from here is that advertising is still a process of test, measure, and evaluate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's test, measure, evaluate. And also, I think that, you know, and I think especially in print, you know, print readers need to, you know, are more aware than many other mediums. You know, we know, for example, that, you know, print readers are likely to be a little bit more wealthy. Than other mediums. They're likely to have a little more education. They're likely to be slightly older. But not by much. The average age of a newspaper reader, for example, is 47.7. The average age of an internet user is 41. The average age of a magazine reader is 45. So, you know, it's essentially the same pool of people. You know, it's not as though people are not people who respond to print ads are not responding to online ads or radio ads or television ads. It's just that I think when they respond to print ads, they are responding differently.
Right.
You know?
Understood. And this is an important principle as well for all of us to know. I mean, what surveys have we done related to the readership of our publications, newsletters, websites? What do we know about them? What do we know about the psychographics about them? What do we know about the buying power? How do we weave that into our media kit? For those of you that have been in prior calls and programs, we've done entire one-hour programs just on these areas of what are we doing from a survey perspective, how do we weave that into our media kits, and then how do we sell from that. Each of those are their own unique slice. Jed, just taking a look and realizing that in a few minutes we're going to pause here and thank all of those who have joined us. Is there anything that you want to talk about just in terms of generating response for advertisers that just to come around the bend one more time here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, there are a few different things, but the Brian from Utah asked, what can we, you know, what is the best response to overcome objections on price or the effectiveness of print? And you know, just to sort of tie in a lot of the things we talked about, you know, the best thing you can do is prove it, right? I mean, number one, right, track your advertisers' results. You know, whether it's phone numbers, whether it's URLs, publications have got to get in the middle of response, right? They've got to be the ones who determine whether or not response is happening. You can't leave it to an advertiser. Advertisers are untrustworthy when it comes to this, right? They have too much vested interest in it, and oftentimes they're not very scientific. This is true for national advertisers, and it is definitely true for regional and local advertisers. The idea that someone can ask where someone is calling from just does not work. I listen to calls all the time from people who are responding to a unique phone number, so I know exactly where they're calling from, right? I know what ad they're calling from. And when the operator asks them where they heard about them, they don't have a clue. I mean, it makes your skin crawl, the stuff they say. I saw it. I heard it on the radio. And you know that they didn't hear it on the radio. They're calling our number, right? Consumers don't know, and advertisers who try to track it themselves using unscientific methods, you just can't trust it. You know, whatever, as Ernest said, know your audience. You know, who are the people who are reading your publication? You know, it's not good enough to say that, to try to make the case that your readership are the richest and prettiest people in the world, right? There are lots and lots of advertisers out there who are not trying to reach those people because they're not interested in their products. But if you can get a real handle on your audience and understand what it is that they what it is that makes them tick and what it is that they're likely to respond to, you know, that is very, very valuable because, you know, that's ultimately what more and more advertisers want. You know, we didn't really talk about it in this call, but as other mediums push per response more and more, even if you as a publication don't participate in per response, those basic tenets are really seeping into a lot of the way that advertisers operate. And so more and more advertisers want to know what the response they're going to generate is going to be like. That's how they measure the success or the failure of a campaign. It almost doesn't matter how you charge them. What matters is, you know, are they getting the results for it? Whether they're paying for space or they're paying for response, it's sort of six of one, half dozen of the other. You know, just a few little tricks. I mean, if it were me and I had a publication and I wanted to really make sure that the results of some of my advertisers were solid, I would run both a display and a classified ad. You know, one of the things that our data shows is that they tend to be different audiences. People who respond to display ads don't respond to classifieds and vice versa. So to the extent that you know, you're willing to build that into your costs, you know, I think that can really increase response. And the last thing, and probably the most important thing, is, you know, is to sort of demand and require from your advertisers that that the offers that they're putting in your publication are competitive. Because if they're measuring response and they're not using competitive offers, they're setting you up to fail. You know, some of the examples I brought up earlier were, you know, there are more like them, and I'm sure that you probably have your own. But the difference in the offer that's in the ad, because print consumers are reading what they're, you know, before they call and are trying to find out what it is that they that they're calling about. I think it dramatically impacts print, perhaps more than other mediums, when an offer is not competitive. I don't know what the best way to do it is. In my case, what we do is, you know, we say to an advertiser, you know, rather than you get a discount on ad space, what we would rather have you do is pass that on to the consumer, right? The cost of the advertising isn't just the space. The advertiser should look at the cost of the advertising as both the space and the offer that they're providing, right? So if they normally charge 20% off, you know, get them to give 30% off. You know, and instead of giving them, you know, a frequency discount of, you know, six insertions, you know, have them do that, but then show them that it's working. You know, I think that's really where print can really, you know, make some inroads and really, you know, do well with some advertisers who are increasingly focused on response.
Excellent. Wow. Listen, we have covered an incredible amount of information. I know, Jed, you mentioned about typing up a summary of of some of the key points, which would be wonderful. We have a lot of ways that we can share and post it and so forth. And obviously, we had a huge turnout for the program here today. We're so pleased that all of you have joined us. This is our give back. Every single month, we circle back around. We've been doing this now for 17 years, Jed and I together, going back since 2006. Pause each month. There's a lot of planning behind the scenes, a lot of research behind the scenes, and frankly, your questions and your topics inspire us. So if there are topics that you would like us to cover in upcoming programs, please let us know. And whether it's Jed bringing it, whether it's me bringing it, or Jed and I working back and forth together, there's nothing that we haven't seen, heard, observed. We sit sort of at the apex of what's happening, in my case, international publications all over the world in every genre you can imagine, and clearly in MediaBid, in Jed's case, my gosh, that and then some. Okay, you heard all the stats at the beginning of our program. So bottom line, there is nothing that you can't ask us that we won't either know immediately or couldn't find research or be able to bring it back to you. So, Jed, again, always appreciate. I know a couple of times a year you take a deep breath and you really pull out the most amazing research, the most riveting. And I know, you know, honestly, I'm still reeling from last year's programs. And thank you so much for bringing those out here today.
No, my pleasure. And I know that there were many questions that we didn't explicitly get to. I'm going to go through and try to respond to your questions by email.
Beautiful. That part would be great. So to all of you, thank you so much for joining us for the MediaBits Power Hour. Please continue to come to our programs. We know that there's a portion of you that this is the first time, and then we know that the vast majority are those of you that have come over and over and over. We still appreciate where we have the greatest level of respect and reverence for you and your commitment to invest this window of time. We're hoping that you were able to capture lots of notes. That's our goal. We want to transfer knowledge and keep this very, very simple so that you can continue to learn and listen to the things that we've got cooking. This is our 57th hour together, so there's lots of programs at the MediaBid website, and we hope that you will come back and visit us next month as well. So, Jed, thank you as always, and we will see all of you next month, okay?
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everybody. Make it a great day. Bye-bye.